Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. When I was younger, I remember learning that if it seemed too good to be true, it probably was. All right, because if something seems too good to be true, there's probably some string attached to it or something in the fine print that would prevent it from being so good. Maybe you've heard or experienced something that would further support this idea all the more. Well, this is exactly what the disciples are experiencing in our gospel account for today. They're gathered, right, together. And they're actually hearing the testimony of two guys who told them that they had literally just walked from Jerusalem to Emmaus with somebody who was Jesus. Right? The same Jesus who was crucified has now been risen and literally took a day's journey with them to another town. And well, these two guys, they get so excited, they run back to Jerusalem to tell the apostles all about it. And it's at this very moment when they're all gathered together and they're hearing this testimony that who shows up? But Jesus himself. It's like if all of your attention's over here and you're talking to these two guys and all of a sudden you turn and like there he is, like materialized somehow in the room right next to you. And he came with a sermon to preach to his disciples. Very, 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 very short sermon. Peace to you. That's it. Now, their first reaction, right, is unbelief, right? They think that they're seeing a spirit. They're startled. They're frightened. They don't know what to do. And Jesus is alive again, but they can't quite believe it. It's just too good to be true. And so what does Jesus do? Well, he has to sort of prove it there, right? Hey, look, I got crucifixion marks in my hands. I got crucifixion marks in my feet. It's me. I have flesh and bones. I'm not a spirit. I'm the real deal. And yet then the text tells us that then they didn't just disbelieve or think they saw a spirit. Now they recognize it's a man in front of them, but they disbelieve it is Jesus because they're so overjoyed. That's what it says. They're disbelieve for joy. To put it another way, even after they recognize that he is a flesh and blood man who has been risen from the dead, they still think it's too good to be true. Jesus alive again? No way! Where's the fine print? Where's the string attached? And so Jesus, he has to go through this whole thing again. You know, okay, you see my flesh and blood? You know what? Give me a piece of fish. I'll eat you and I'll eat and show you that I am a human being, that I am actually flesh and blood here. And so it goes. But the truth is that this story, this resurrection account, it is dripping with gospel for you. Certainly for the disciples, but for you. As we think about all the parallels it has to today, think about throughout the scriptures, Jesus tells us, he says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. And so what do we have in this gospel? But two guys come and share this message of Jesus Christ, and what happens? But Jesus physically manifests himself there. Where are we here? We're all gathered. How do we start the service? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Gathered in God's name, and you know what it means? It means that Jesus is here. His very presence, and maybe we don't get to see his crucifixion marks and his hands or his feet, but we know that he's here because he's promised to be with us through the word. The word preached, the word delivered, the word believed. Jesus is just as present here now as he was as if he were preaching the same sermon to you now. Because he is. Only this time he's using somebody like a humble pastor, but the sermon is the same. Peace to you. That's the sermon. And when Jesus says peace, it's not like, you know, in the world we hear a lot of wishes, right? You know, every beauty pageant contestant wishes for world peace. Well, I wish you all the best. When Jesus says peace to you, he's not saying I wish for you to have peace or, you know, peace is something I hope for you. He's literally giving it to you. He says peace is a reality for you. And you know that it's true. Why? Because he's risen from the dead. Before this event, they had no peace. Their Savior was dead. Their Savior was gone. But with Jesus rises and actually shows himself and is actually present with his people, he brings the peace. The peace becomes a reality. And so it is. Let me explain. In the words peace, there's a lot involved, right? There's forgiveness, there's life, there's salvation. But in Jesus' second question, we really find out what sort of peace Jesus brings. He says, why are you troubled? If it seems too good to be true that God brings peace, where's the fine print? Why are you troubled? And not certainly not just spiritual things. Think about your life. You have a stressful job. Are you worried about providing for your family? You have student loans or credit card debt? Are you saving for retirement? Are you worried about your retirement money running out? Is there too much hustle and bustle in life? Are you spread too thin because you have to run all over the place driving your kids around? You have so many obligations in life that you don't know how you're actually making it day by day. You deal with loneliness or depression, or maybe you've received a bad diagnosis from a doctor. Or maybe you know somebody who has. Or maybe just the reality of death in the world, that everyone's eventually going to make it to a point where they have to die. Anybody turn the news on this weekend? Anybody get just a little bit nervous after you heard that the U.S. sent their missiles over to Syria? I think we're all there, right? Not certain what's going to happen. We live in this world filled with stress and uncertainty and hardship and trouble. Jesus knows that. And in no way is he trying to minimize or, you know, discount your stressors, because this is real. This is what life is. We live in a world with all of this because of sin. But Jesus comes precisely to show how he deals with our troubles, how he deals with those of us who are weary and downtrodden, how he deals with our doubts and our fears and everything that tries to harm us. Why are you troubled? Jesus says, look at my hands. I was crucified and now I'm alive. I was dead, but now I'm back. And there's nothing to be troubled over. If you think about it, Jesus, he knows exactly what we face in this world. That was part of him becoming a man and living amongst us. Talk about a stressful job. Jesus' job involved being beaten and mocked and whipped and crucified and shedding his blood for the world. That's a pretty stressful job. And yet, where does it lead him? But he comes back to life. Nothing can take that away. Providing for a family? Well, think about Jesus. What is one of the last things that he does as he's dying on the cross? He looks at his mother. He looks at the disciple whom he loved, and he said, take care of her, making sure that everything was going to be okay. And then he dies, and where does it lead? But he comes back to life, and he gets to provide for his mother in ways that he never could have imagined. Well, I guess as God, he probably did imagine, but you understand. You got a debt? Money concerns? Jesus had a debt to pay too. Not his own debt, but our debt. The debt of sin. This is why he had to bleed and suffer and die. It's because he had a debt to pay on our behalf. To atone for all of our sins, to wash them away, to get rid of them. That way we could enjoy eternity. And what happens after he pays the debt? He comes back to life. You get where we're going here? It doesn't matter what trouble we have. If you're spread too thin, if you have too many obligations in life, you know, if we read through the Gospels, it always cracks me up because as Jesus gains popularity, like every day he is so swamped by people who want a piece of his power, a piece of his healing, that the Gospels tell us he has to wake up early, early in the morning just to get a few moments by himself to pray. Because he's all day, every day, just being swamped by these crowds, doing miracles, having compassion on the people. Jesus knows what it's like to be spread too thin, and what happens? He dies and he rises. Never to die again. My friends, I don't know what troubles you. You probably have a little bit of an idea, but you know what troubles you more than I do. And I'm here to tell you today that Jesus overcomes your trouble. That's why we confess. That's why we come here. That's all the reason why we say, Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. He's come back to life with the purpose of delivering this peace to you, to delivering his resurrected body to you. That way you can know in the midst of your trouble, in the midst of your pain, in the midst of the uncertainty, no matter what happens, Jesus has overcome your troubles. And it's going to lead you exactly where it led him. Jesus' troubles led him to bleed and to die. And whatever troubles you have will lead you to death too. But even in death, there is life. Even in Jesus' death, he is raised to life again. And the same promise is waiting for you. The truth is that nothing can take the promise that God has for us. Nothing can take away eternal life. Nothing can take away salvation. Nothing can take away the promise that Jesus has lived and died and lived again for you. Because Jesus overcomes the world. In fact, he already has. Through his perfect life, his innocent death, and his glorious resurrection. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your troubles in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.